broadcasting from Hollywood, California. It's Grant's Rants, Hollywood Talk.
TV returns for the fall, and we dish what's catching our attention. And what isn't? Pamela Anderson doesn't like dating apps, and neither do we. Lady Gaga books the Super Bowl. A potential Britney Justin song is exciting us from now. And Miley Cyrus rejects red carpets. That and more with Katrina Nicholson right here. Let the ranting begin. I'm sitting across from aspiring writer and comedian Katrina Nicholson.
What's up?
How's it going?
It's going.
Well, we need to talk about how we know one another.
Yeah.
And Katrina has backfilled one of my positions from a previous job, one of the very many. And we just kind of hit it off, bonding over what we know and the people and the politics.
We've sent a lot of text messages back and forth over the last few months. Only the two of us really understand what the situation is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, anyone who's left a job, and many people probably don't go back and speak with their replacements, but if they did, they would know, like, they have a specific language and know, like, what they're up against and kind of fill each other in. So that's our relationship. Yeah. And so we have a good time commiserating.
Absolutely, to say the least.
Yeah. So let's talk about some fall TV real quick, because the billboards are everywhere. It's Emmy weekend. We are recording this podcast before the Emmys, so we won't be discussing winners because we don't know. But let's talk about what's coming out, what's catching our attention, and what we're planning on watching. I've talked about a few of these shows before on this podcast, kind of, you know, checking things out. I've noticed some more shows since then. Some other shows have turned me off since we last had this conversation. So let's catch up. What are you planning on watching for sure?
Well, I have zero hope for the big networks at this point. I don't care anymore. I'm not even going to give them a shot. I'm mostly interested in getting back into, like, Netflix's stream, like, just streaming and HBO. But I do want to give American Horror Story another shot because I was not a fan of Hotel, even though a lot of people loved it. But this next season is something about, like, Roanoke. I don't even know. It's a very weird concept, but I'm hoping maybe it'll turn around.
You know, I've given that show a chance every season that it's been on, and I've never been able to take to it. I cannot take to that show, no matter if it's Gaga there or whoever they have on, like the cast of so many that they bring on. On paper, it sounds great.
Right.
But the show just doesn't take to me, and it's very long. I've realized that I'm not good, like, made-for-TV movies. Like, they're just, like, 30 minutes too long for me. And this show, it's very well done. It looks good. I love Kathy Bates. Lady Gaga interests me overall, but I just can't seem to get into it past a handful of episodes. I've never finished it.
That's the thing. This last season, I think I got to episode 6, and so many things were happening that I didn't like. I just abandoned it altogether, and it was totally right up my alley. There was this one episode that was all serial killers, like real-life serial killers. And I'm obsessed with serial killers, which makes me sound like a crazy person, but I just didn't find it scary or disturbing or anything. I was just, like, bored by it, which, for a show that's supposed to be shocking, and, you know, I don't think you want people bored mid-season.
Yeah.
So I just gave up.
I told myself, this season, don't bother. No. I'm not going to check it out myself at all because it's just, I know it doesn't appeal to me at this point, so not happening.
Right.
Something that is catching my attention, you mentioned you weren't going to look at network, but with NBC, I want to watch This Is Us.
Oh, yeah.
I've read good things about it. It has over 90 million views on the trailer on YouTube, so there's a lot of buzz behind it. I like buzzworthy shows.
Oh, for sure.
I think that's why I like reality TV so much on The Housewives, because it's like one little thing happens, and like, you know, there's all these blogs about it, and I enjoy talking about it. So this show, I read a great article about it. I think, I want to say it was Entertainment Weekly. And they give a little excerpt, blurb, like little first look at it. And they said there's no explosions, there's no superheroes, it's just straight up drama. And I'm like, that's what I'm looking for.
It's missing right now, honestly. It's so superhero heavy. Yeah. That's the trend right now.
Yeah.
I'm
even
over it.
Even if it was a little soapy, I loved A Desperate Housewives.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I'd be fine if I love a little over the top. But now everything is really based in reality, not necessarily reality TV, but real things slash these comedy slash these superhero movements mm-hmm. slash the son of Zorn. What right. the hell? I'm like so angry at this. Like, I made a Snapchat the other day and I was like, absolutely not.
I just don't get it. Not. I just see the billboard and I'm like, because it's right by my house. Oh, so every yeah. time I'm coming back from the gym, I'm like, what? I don't, what is it? Like, I just can't. No. I just see the cartoon character with this family and I don't know what to make of it.
I think it's very Fox. Like, if yeah. it's going to be on any network, like, yeah, it's, like, good for them. But, I mean, who knows? I don't give that very long.
No.
I don't. And nothing on ABC. I don't give much of anything too long over there.
They know it. Everybody knows it.
It's... That show, Speechless, is another show that's not happening. Not no. here, anyway. I'm not watching no. that because I don't care for Minnie Driver playing the
oh,
same role.
Oh, my. I don't need her on my TV screen. I just don't. I don't need her on any screen anymore.
She just plays the same type of role. She's an angry, but she's a very angry character. Just
always.
Like, always upset. And I'm like, I don't need that.
No.
I'm not interested.
That's not why I tune in. I don't need to yes. listen to you. I just yeah. don't.
Does anyone feel like maybe ABC is their comedy department is just honing in on all these minority groups?
Oh my gosh. It was you know? That it was that the mandates, like I want to say like last year it was all like we need a diverse, like we need a different perspective, we need like minority perspective, which is great. Yeah. I don't have a problem with it, right. but they went like so far in that direction that it's almost more offensive. I'm like I don't want to go anywhere yeah. near it.
I mean, they've got the middle, which I love, and
oh, I hate the middle.
Really?
Oh my god, it's not funny.
The middle and Modern Family, which I'm done with Modern Family entirely. But though that's like okay, that's like fits white bracket. Then right. there's Blackish. Ugh. Then there's the show Speechless, which represents the sick and the disabled. Then there was that Cristela. They tried
oh
to make that happen.
Oh my god.
Yep.
Wasn't there Fresh Off the Boat? Is that
right,
done?
That's still there. Yeah.
That's still there.
Yeah. So they've definitely, like, and I'm all for diversity
right.
in television, but it definitely also seems to me like ABC Studios is just like, all right, what's the next subculture slash ethnicity that we can exploit?
They're desperate. They're just desperate.
They are finding success for the most part.
I mean,
so.
They have a pretty good unscripted. I mean, they have Bachelor, which
somehow remains relevant.
No, you're never going to top it. It's never, yeah. nothing will top it ever. It rates so well.
And Dancing with the Stars.
Oh my, no. I can't talk about that.
We're in season, what, 21, 22 of that? I mean, I'm all for unscripted. Like, I'm there for
Same.
It.
It's fine.
But that, American Idol, I just never...
Like, my mom loves it. It's like what our parents are watching.
Right,
it's because they're
right.
the only ones still tuning in.
Yeah.
The only ones who still have cable.
Yeah. I'm going to be looking at Scream Queens. I've talked about Scream Queens a lot on this show.
Love Scream Queens.
It's really over the top, and the cast.
I love it.
The cast now is going to be even bigger than last season, which was already a lot.
Yeah.
So Kirstie Alley is joining
oh,
the show, and this is her first Ryan Murphy show, which is a surprise.
That
to me.
Is
because I think
huh.
she would like she's great for that. Like
she is
tailor made for that. Minus the Scientology, love me some Kirstie
Alley.
We'll just
pretend there's no Scientology attached to that.
Yes. John Stamos, who doesn't like him?
Oh my god, he's a great guy too. I actually met him when I was interning. He was so nice.
I believe it. He seems like he's paid his dues in this business.
Absolutely.
He got very lucky. Yeah.
Genuinely good person. You don't see that very often.
Good. I like to hear that.
Yeah, no, always affirming.
And Taylor Lautner, who hasn't really had a career.
Yeah, what happened to him?
Yeah.
Twilight and then...
Yeah.
Nothing relevant. He dated Taylor Swift for a minute and then
oh, I forgot.
That was a while ago though. That was like Twilight days when he was relevant and she could use him for
yeah.
her publicity.
Well, we wish all the shows luck, but who the hell knows how long they're going to last?
Good luck.
I always go back to like The Muppets last season.
Oh my god, what happened?
It opened really well, then
yeah.
it dropped, and then it literally just never ever heard from it again. Like it would be just like it was just eliminated. So I don't know, these shows it's like I'm waiting for the press releases, like, most watched show
yeah,
on a Wednesday
yeah.
night. 4 weeks later, never heard a race.
Nothing.
Like, literally, like, abc.com/The Muppets, allegedly, I'm kidding, but, like,
right.
not even a page. You know what I mean?
I know, I don't understand it. It's just, yeah. I mean, this business is changing. It's, and a lot of people are in denial about it. It's just hard
yeah.
to make things stick.
I think, for the most part, a lot of these shows should just remain picked up. Because
yeah.
they... the audience that they've got is there, whether it's, unless if it's pulling in, like, you know, like some like pre, like some like distant cable network numbers, like, I don't know, like those random channel, like, yeah, yeah, pull out, but like the Science Channel, for example,
oh, yeah,
unless if it's getting something like that, like at this point, I don't know what they're expecting to
know.
Replace these shows.
I really don't. I would, I mean, especially the ones that do have the cult following that you can demonstrate,
yeah,
and then they just give up on them. I don't
right.
know. I mean, it's the I think the rating system is broken, but that's a whole other conversation.
Oh, yeah. That's been
so
busted forever.
If
yeah.
you're measuring based on that system, you're never going to be happy with the results.
Right.
It's just not accurate. It doesn't reflect anything that most 20-somethings
yeah.
are watching. So,
for what I'm hearing and reading and working on, it's all SVOD focused anyway
yeah.
at this point. So it's like, the ratings are what they are. But so when do you decide what, at this point now, when you factor in an international audience, like, there has to be so much into taking into scope of how to cancel and why to cancel
yeah.
a show. So it's interesting, and we'll see what happens this fall season.
Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about Left Turn Pamela Anderson,
oh.
who has an 18-year-old son, and she's very involved in his dating life.
Good.
And I like her. I think she looks good.
Do I like... Yeah. Yeah. I like her. I don't hate... For some reason, I'm just like... I'm like, what do I know about Pamela Anderson? And then I just flash back to when she's in... I think she's in Scary Movie 3 or something at the beginning. And she's just like... It's like her and I think Jenny McCarthy. Am I right?
A winning duo.
I know. And they're like... Well, they're like at home and then... you know, it's a parody of The Ring. And
oh,
they're
yeah,
getting
yeah.
these phone calls. And it's like... the creepy voice, and I thought she was really funny, so that's my instinct.
That's my
frame of reference, which is probably not a normal frame of reference for Pamela Anderson.
Yeah.
But we'll go with that.
Well, she tells her son, I tell him not to do those stupid dating apps, which he doesn't, thank God. I tell him, just meet someone in the street and get a connection. It's human contact.
Oh,
well,
gosh.
It's a different type of world now.
The world we're living in now, I can't even begin to describe the dating game that it's a game nobody knows the rules to.
Right. What's your experience been like in LA dating
wise? Oh my God. So I have been single since like what, March of this year, I think. And I was like, all right, let's do the apps. Fuck it. Like, might as well. And I downloaded all of them. I had Tinder, Bumble, Coffee Meets Bagel.
That I won't even have that on my phone. I think that's the stupidest name. I saw that on Shark Tank. It was like,
right?
That's not
it's
happening.
Actually the word. Well, the weird, that one is just desperate. Like, if I had to describe it in one word, it's
oh,
just
really?
Very desperate. I never met anybody off of that one. And then I had Hinge for a little bit, and it was also just a bit. I didn't get very many. There wasn't enough people on it. So,
oh, yeah.
But Bumble and Tinder were the ones I used the most. And I met like quite a few guys from both of those, and it was just so bad. Because the problem is that because these apps, because everybody's using them, everybody knows that all they need to do to find another girl, well, all the guys do,
mm-hmm.
All they need to do to find another girl is just keep swiping. So they don't really have any patience for anybody. And I'm not like an easy girl to date. Like, I don't really just sit there and I guess I say a lot more than I probably should early on. So I think I scared away a lot of my potential matches. But it's also sort of one of those things where I knew pretty early on that it wasn't going to be anything serious. So I just kind of strung it along because I was bored.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it is interesting.
Great for when you're bored.
Yeah, they're great for when you're bored. And, like, I know at the beginning it was, like, fun for my friends and I because I would have, like, a date every weekend. I would have one Friday and one Saturday and then, like, they would all know about it. And at one point, I was dating three guys with the same name. So we numbered. Yeah, they were all... Well, I don't want to say the name because if any of them are, like, listening. But we had, like, a numbering system. But then once we got into, like... Some of them I saw again. So we had to, like, find new nicknames for them just to make it easier. But now every guy that I've dated has a nickname. And usually a pretty offensive one.
Oh,
that
okay,
we just
yeah.
It's easier to refer to them that way, you know? Like, oh, yeah, the
Did
guy...
they know this?
No, but one time one of them was in the car and I was like driving to my house and I was on the speakerphone with my cousin and I was like, yeah, me and blah 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 are coming back. He's like, oh, is that K1? I'm like, shh, it's not, nope, not the right guy. Like, completely wrong.
Well, it sounds like you found some success with dating anyway.
I mean, like, it's not hard to get guys to go out with you. It's just hard to find ones that aren't fucking idiots.
Yeah.
It's like 90% of the time, like, I realize they're not listening to me, to listening to anything I say about, like, 10 minutes in, and I just start, like, all right, like, what are we doing here? What are we even trying to do?
Yeah.
And I don't even really want anything right now. I'm too busy, like, I'm playing in, like, 4 co-ed football leagues now.
Wow.
I know, yeah. I shouldn't be. Like, it's definitely, like, I'm overextending myself, but I don't even know when the fuck I would go on a date anymore.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Right.
I don't know, yeah. No,
what's your experience?
My experience is nothing. It's like, you know, to get anyone to actually commit to taking the time to meet, to do anything, you know, it's like, you know, all tentative plans that never come to fruition.
Right.
So it's nothing. To me, the whole thing is a waste of my energy.
It really is. But the problem that I found is that what's the alternative? Now that I don't have any of the apps, right. I'm like, how do I talk to guys?
Yeah.
And like when I'm at the bar, I'm like, I don't even know where to start.
That's true. I don't know how to talk to anybody out and like that, how to like broach a conversation.
Because we don't know how we never learned.
Yeah.
It's our generation.
It's so true.
It's crazy. I mean, the only guys that approach me are the guys that I'm desperately hoping won't approach me. And then I have to be a bitch. And then
that's always the case.
And then it's like, then we all complain about each other not wanting to date each other. And
It's funny because everybody has the same conversation with their friends. I have it with my friends outside of LA, wherever. And we all are just really seriously looking, but yet no one's connecting on that level.
No.
Everyone you talk to is looking for the same thing, yet no one is at the same time.
No, absolutely not. I don't think any of the guys I've been on dates with were looking for anything serious. And I don't think any of the guys I've been on dates with, I was looking for anything serious with them. They're crazy.
I'm working. I'm busy.
It's just,
that's how I look at it.
Yeah, you have to be really fucking awesome for me to be like, yeah, I'm gonna spend the 2 hours of free time I have every other day talking to you. I also don't want to text you. I just want you to leave me alone.
Like, that's true.
Yeah. Do you get that texting game too? I just don't want to do it.
The majority of people that I've encountered do not work. At least they don't work normal hours. So it's like, you know, they're expecting these responses and all this. I mean, it's like, no.
No.
And that's even with, like, friends, too.
Right.
You know, like, I'm busy, like, I'm working, like, I don't want to tell you, like, it's just easier not to set that standard of getting back to people very quickly.
No. And I mean, also, 90% of the time, it's, like, them saying things I just don't care about, so I just have no incentive to respond, so I'm just gonna leave it.
Now, I know you wanted to talk about Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah. Are you so not football? Do you hate football?
I don't have a television right now.
Okay.
I don't watch anything.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I've managed to find my reality TV time, but that's about it right now.
This is super hypocritical of me, though, because football's happening right now, and I'm not... I don't even want to watch, though, because I have 7 fantasy football teams, and...
Oh, my God.
I know.
So this is
I have
really
a problem.
Your
thing. It's my thing. I don't know what happened. It's just become, like, I'm obsessed.
Well, no, there's a way to meet guys.
Right, you'd think that, but guys think they want to date a girl who is into football, but then in actuality, when a guy is with me and notices that I'm almost more into that than they am, that I'm almost more into it than they are, and I might know a little bit more than they do, it's like, ew, I don't want that. That's not fun. I want you to sit there and cheer for my team. Like, in reality, they think they want a girl who's into football. They just want a girl to be into football on their terms, so...
Yeah.
No, not it's not as easy as I thought it would be. But
yes,
this is relevant now.
Right. Well, this story's been everywhere. This player for the 49ers didn't stand for the national anthem. It's been related to him. Why did he do it?
So
fill me in.
So as far as I'm aware, it's because he's protesting like police brutality, the Black Lives Matter movement, which I think it's a great platform to use. Or it's so nice to see something positive coming out of the NFL, but the backlash on it has been ridiculous. Like, people were like, that's so disrespectful to our troops, and whatever, that's fine if you think that, but it's a peaceful protest. Mm-hmm. It's a very harmless way to protest by someone who's a huge public figure.
Yeah, I mean, there's no law. He's not breaking a law.
No.
It's encouraged, but there's nothing that he's doing really... that's awful and blasphemous. I can understand both sides of the argument. Now, I will say this man is creating quite a conversation across all platforms.
Absolutely.
From like ESPN to regular news to across all blogs.
Yeah.
Constantly in my Facebook feed.
Yep.
So, I mean, and if it's coming, if it's trickling to me, white man who doesn't watch football, then it's really creating a conversation.
Well, other players are joining in. And other huge players like Arian Foster, another huge running back, he kneeled too. And it's been... And I was like, yes, thank God. Like, I'm so happy. And then and a couple other Broncos player also kneeled, and his sponsors dropped him. Like, he lost sponsorship deals because of it. And it was like, are you serious? Like, I don't know. I kind of understand you do have to take a stance on it. And if your brand is not really adjacent to that kind of movement, then, yeah, okay, whatever, drop your sponsorship. But I still think, like, because he kneeled during the national anthem and, like, is standing by a movement that's extremely relevant right now, especially in the midst of a presidential election. Like, it's so important. And if these guys are bringing attention to it, then why are we going to punish them for it? It's peaceful protesting. It's peaceful. Like,
that's true.
It's not hurting anybody.
Yeah. I don't know. As a white man, there's nothing I can really say either way against for this situation. What Chris Brown, loser extraordinaire, he was at a charity basketball game, and he didn't stand for it either, but he sat slouched in the corner, and I'm like, you know what? Nothing he does makes a damn difference anyway. He probably doesn't even know the reason why.
No, I'm sure he doesn't. He's a crazy person.
He's like such a loser, and it's a shame.
Why didn't we give up on him earlier? I'm so annoyed that he's still like culturally relevant, because he's just a disgusting human being.
Terrible person. Whatever. So yeah, so Chris Brown is behind the movement, which probably doesn't help.
I don't think
what they're trying to do.
Nope.
Yeah. So later in the season, though, the season just began, right?
Like, football?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just began last week.
Yeah. So if you're already waiting for it to be over...
Oh, shut up.
Then you can...
Let us have our fun.
Yes. Then you can look forward to the Super Bowl, which is always a big deal.
Always.
Lady Gaga is going to be the headliner. I don't know who else is performing with her. It's probably all going to be rumors up until, like, January. But what do you think?
Okay, so I actually, now that I'm thinking about it, Katy Perry was an amazing halftime show. I could see Lady Gaga having a similar halftime show.
Like, I'm surprised she hasn't done it.
I actually thought she already did. That was what I was thinking about. So this is... I mean, I love her old stuff. I'm kind of into her new song. Have you heard it?
I've heard it, and it's just not for me.
It's just not... I mean, I just feel like her new stuff hasn't been quite as good as the old stuff, but I'm not going to... I still listen, and I'm still a fan. But, like, what... I just... I can see it going one of two ways. It could be totally, like, Katy Perry nailed that everyone has... great throwback moments, because you don't realize how many of their songs you know until they start playing all of them.
Right.
Which was the
that
case.
That was like me with like Selena Gomez.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, she did that too. I forgot about that one.
Yeah. And I think it could have value in that. And she probably will make it look weird too. Like, she'll come in like suspended from something.
I hope so, because I miss that version of Gaga.
I know. I do miss that. And I feel like she'll do it for the Super Bowl. She's definitely going to do something weird.
I hope so. I really do. This is great for her to promote her new album and all that with her album. Well, the album will be long out by then, but she said in an interview, now Us Weekly has said that they've confirmed this, but she said before this announcement, when she was asked about doing it, she said that she would absolutely be interested, and that she would she mentioned bringing in her album collaborators Mark Ronson, Florence Welch, and Beck.
I would love it. So, Florence Welch.
And people love Beck, so...
Yeah. I mean... But there's certain people that just don't carry a halftime show, and it's... The energy's not there. She has the energy. The other people you just mentioned...
Yeah.
Questionable.
Right. See, I like EDM. Like, I want, like, some Stevie Oki to come on. That's
nuts.
My halftime show.
That would be
nuts.
You
know, like, that's what I want to see.
If they're ever going to do that, this would be the year, too. Don't you think? If they're going to bring in, like, Calvin Harris or something? Oh, that would be awesome. Her with them? That would be sweet.
Yeah, well, you never know who's going to pop up.
Right.
Missy Elliott popped up.
That was awesome,
too. That was great, yeah.
We have plenty of time, so.
Yes, figure it out.
Make it work for us.
Let's talk about something completely different.
Yeah.
These topics are all over the place.
They really are.
This singer, songstress, Britney Spears.
Oh, yes.
Have you listened to the new album?
Lightly.
Okay.
Lightly, but I don't know what I think of it, so... Ugh. I mean, I love Britney. She can really do no wrong.
Yes.
But just... I don't know. What do you think of it?
Well, I kind of, last episode, I went in a very good way. I mean, I'll never say anything bad against it. I'm a card-carrying Britney fan. Love it. Love the album. Like, you know, of course, there are a few songs on there that I can live without.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, I mean, I'm totally fine with it. I'm glad that she's on the scene. But the whole thing has made me feel kind of old.
Yeah, I feel you that, know? Too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm being her for Halloween, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we're doing... I think my friends and I are going to do... Like, we're going to do a group costume. We're all going to be different Britneys.
Oh, I must see a photo of
this. Oh, absolutely. Because one of... It's me and two guys. So... Oh. One of them... He has his head shaved, so he's going to be, like...
Oh,
head shaved Britney.
07, 08 yeah. Britney. Okay.
Disaster Britney. And I might be Snake Britney.
Good one.
Yeah, VMAs.
Iconic, as
yeah.
always.
I know. So I'm going to have to, like, make sure my body's in that one. I don't know what the third guy is going to be, but... It's gonna be.
Yeah, I love it. I love the idea. So I'm all for the album, but there's this whole back and forth, and it's a positive thing with who she would like to collaborate with, who she would like to perhaps, I am saying duet because I'm being hopeful, but she did mention Justin, and of course we know their past. Everyone's still, all the card carrying Britney fans always hold out hope that those two might result
yeah.
in something.
The dream.
I don't really care for Justin Timberlake's current music,
no.
I will say.
No.
It's not my type of thing, like Justin and the Tennessee Five or whoever he's with. It's just the 2020 experience was just not for me.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree
yeah.
with that.
I wasn't
a fan.
I tend to not like men that sing in falsetto for whatever reason.
Fair.
You know, so it's like whatever. But he, no doubt, is great still star power and... She's wonderful, and by her writing his coattails of that
yeah.
song, we really help her.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think him doing anything with her would really help him, because I think
not.
He's like a step above her.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yes.
For better or worse.
Yeah, for better or worse, same page, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that they should definitely do it. Of course, you know, we probably won't see anything come of this
no.
for a long time.
No.
And I don't know, I wonder how Jessica Biel feels about it, but...
Ugh.
He
Why are they together?
He says he would absolutely be down for it. And the expression on his face when E! News asked him, he was like taken aback, like almost like an old friend was asking about you.
Yeah.
You know what I
yeah,
mean?
And I love that.
Yeah.
They were such a great 90s thing.
Yeah.
And that picture of them in the denim outfits, gosh. Like,
another
you just
iconic
can't,
moment.
You can't get that out of your head.
Yes.
It's so beautiful.
Yes.
What a great relationship.
So I hope that it comes
I would,
together.
Yeah, I
yes.
agree. I'm
yes.
a fan of that.
Professional gay Lance Bass said that it would break the internet.
It would.
So I
love Lance Bass too. So maybe all of NSYNC should get in on this.
Have you looked at that show Finding Prince Charming? By the way,
no.
It's
what is
Lance,
this?
It's a gay bachelor show.
Oh, I love
with,
it.
With Lance Bass hosting.
Oh
but,
yeah. What
hosting,
network?
Logo. Hosting used loosely. Like, more like, you know, like, here, Lance, memorize this paragraph and then spit it out.
Is he in on it? Like, is he in on the game?
No, he's just the host.
That would be awesome. It's like, who wants to date Lance Bass?
Well, he's married.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
To who?
I don't know.
Oh, right.
I don't know.
I did not know that.
Yes. But another star, we can make another turn here, Miley Cyrus.
I love her.
Yeah, me too. Do you see her on the Today Show?
I haven't.
She was on there promoting The Voice and a movie she's in with Woody Allen.
Oh, I hate Woody Allen, and I'm really annoyed that that's happening, but...
Oh.
I mean, everyone should hate Woody Allen. He's disgusting.
Yeah. But Miley Cyrus is saying she's done with all red carpets, and I was like, well, wait a minute. What kind of, like, protest is this now? You know, what kind of noise is she trying to make? However, she explained herself on the Today Show, and it made sense to me. She said that it's not about women... No, she said it is about women. And
yeah.
it's like we get yelled at. And
yeah,
we
she's been beaten
to,
up.
Yeah.
She's been beaten up so badly by press.
We get asked to blow them a kiss. We don't even know who these people are. Like, it's like, and I've seen a few of these. The largest scale carpets at the Emmys, the Golden Globes, or one thing, it's pretty respectable. The outlets there, you know, you've got Vanity Fair, you
yeah.
know, and Access Hollywood, very respectable outlets. But some of these smaller carpets, from my experience only, it's just been like, questionable. They stand there, and even with the, even on the MTV Movie Awards, or so when Britney or in VMAs when Britney showed up, you know, that's like very like a step up, like above catcalling, you know.
Yeah.
It's like over here, Come on, stick your leg out. Look here, you need to turn right. Turn right. Like, give us that smile. Show us that leg. It's very,
it's
like...
disgusting.
It's gross.
I don't know how they put up with it.
Who would want to be spoken to like that?
No one. Yeah. It's, I mean, but how... This is how long it's taken to address that? That's really... makes me mad. Yeah. And it's like Alicia Keys wears no makeup to a red carpet and everyone is kind of... I feel like people were offended by it. What? I just don't even... I don't understand anymore. Like, yeah. What do you expect from us? It's too much.
Right.
And, I mean, I love Miley Cyrus for the fact that she is sort of androgynous, too. And she,
yeah, she's very fluid.
She's not putting up with shit. And I love her for it.
Yeah.
I mean, she's had a rough go of it, too.
Yeah.
It's been these past few years. I mean, she was kind of out of the tabloids for a while, too. She was quiet, and now I'm glad she's back.
Right.
I'm glad to see her back talking about things because I think she has so much potential to actually help feminism too.
Yeah.
Because she definitely is.
I think the whole red carpet experience is as fake as it gets.
Oh, yeah.
And you really have to be confident to work that because if you, it's like basically stepping with a bunch of lights on a screen. You know, if in front of a screen, you're, you know, full display. You're expected to look perfect. Oh, yeah. And then there's a bunch of cameras and people, strangers you don't know, who know you and act like they know you and call your name. So if you're not going out there with the utmost confidence, it's easy to crumble and something.
Absolutely.
Like that. I don't question Miley's confidence, but I do understand where she's coming from. Like,
for sure.
It's really kind of a gross experience. It's something that you're either made for and you're into you're not.
Maybe more women will also join her. That's my hope, is that maybe we can completely change how this whole thing works, but there's no hope.
Yeah.
Like, what's...
Go online and look up someone that you enjoy, a woman, arriving at an award ceremony. Perhaps we'll see it with Live from the Red Carpet this weekend, and of course, all the awards coming down the pipe.
Yep.
And just listen and see how you would reply and respond to something like that.
I would just get angry. Yeah. I know I would get angry and punch a camera or something, or just like push someone over, but I probably have a little bit too much testosterone. So
I could maybe do it for like a little bit, but when you have to go down, a lot of these carpets are very long.
Yeah.
Yeah, very long. So it's like you have to put up with that all the way down.
No.
Yeah, no. No.
Over it.
Yeah, so I can understand where she's coming from. I thought it was just for attention at first. Like, I don't want to be exploited as a woman. But now I get it. Like, yeah, I can see where she's coming from.
Everything is sort of a PR move, though, with these people anyway. So
you never know
if it's genuine.
Yeah.
You never know.
You're listening to Grant's Rants. Please rate, subscribe, and share on iTunes and social media. Spread the word. There are a lot more rants to come. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And now for the one-on-one.
And we're back talking with Katrina Nicholson. No, it's funny. You mentioned to me earlier that you would describe your current career as a series of unfortunate events.
Yeah, I would definitely describe it as such. Should I give the rundown?
Yeah, let's talk about it. So you've been working in the world of Unscripted.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, not unfortunately, but yes, it's not by choice either. It's
really?
Just sort of, yeah, no, I want to be in scripted comedy, so... I just got a little derailed looking for jobs and being sort of desperate for jobs
Very normal.
Yeah. First job actually like was very lucky because I got to basically skip the whole PA phase and just be an assistant right away, but nobody trained me. So it was sort of a crash course where you just kind of, and if you don't know how to be an assistant and you just sit on a desk and you get all these emails about scheduling, you're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
And my boss was used to having really experienced assistants who knew everything and could do 100 things at once, which I figured out I can do, but like...
It's a learning curve.
It's a learning curve and it kills you inside. Like,
yeah.
I did that for my first year out here. I had one job and I was getting paid, minimum wage, and was doing the role of like 10 people, which is typical.
Typical.
And I was sort of told that after that first year they would help me, which is another typical thing.
Mm-hmm.
My boss would help me out. The year comes, you're not ready to move on, you're not prepared to go, I can't recommend you at this stage. So I was like, okay, that's fine that you think that, I'm leaving, I'm not staying.
Forget it.
I don't know, I was I didn't think there was ever going to be a time where I was going to be ready, in her opinion. So I was like, I'm going to do this myself. The next job turned out to be so much worse. I ended up working at this company that is notorious for being cutthroat, abusive, basically just horrible human beings throughout. Mm-hmm. And I was working for the CEO. I was assisting the CEO.
The top of a pile of crap.
Yeah. Oh, to say the least, and you know, the girl who left the position before me left crying, quit with a sticky note. She just walked out, left a sticky note. She couldn't even face her boss, which was the woman I was going to work for.
Wow.
It was this huge, dramatic thing. So,
you know, it's not uncommon to have these people walk out of positions.
No, it's not. And it doesn't affect anything.
No, it doesn't change anything.
No.
This is the reality of working at a production company or somewhere that's not corporately structured because you're just not responsible.
No.
You know, they're not responsible for you. And there's no loyalty, period. None.
They had zero respect for their employees. And this girl walked out crying and I was like, okay, well, you've left me with... She left me with this enormous assistant Bible. I shit you not. It was this binder that like I couldn't even pick up. Like with it was so big, and I was like, what did I get myself into? And then I quickly found out that assistant position was basically a revolving door where like even my email name changed. Like every time I would send an email, it was like, oh, who's this person? Who's this person? There's a new name. Oh. And that's a bad sign. If you ever get into a job and you see that the name. Because, first of all, if the name is assistant at blah, 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 you already know they're not going to give you your email because they know you might quit right away.
Yeah.
And then if you, shortly after, realize that name keeps changing, you're fucked. Like, you've gotten into a desk that nobody wants.
Yeah.
So it did not take me long to realize that this woman was batshit crazy. She was a sociopath. She would text me at, like, 3 a.m. on a Saturday and expect me to do something for her within minutes.
Yeah.
Give me unpaid vacation and still have me work. Like, and it's normal.
It's legit scary, though, when you're looking for jobs on a desk and you've heard of the name of the production company,
yep.
You know what they produce, go on their website, and you just don't know if these are pitfall positions. And
right.
A lot of times they are. It's so frustrating.
And you don't know until it's too late.
Yep, you really don't know.
And that's the hardest part is that then you're like, well, what do I do? Do I stay on this desk and keep suffering and try to put my time in, or do I bail immediately? And the thing with this position was that she was known for firing people right away, but somehow I was, I guess, competent enough that I lasted 6 months, I think. She never fired me. Like, I had to quit by the end of it. She drove me insane. It was one of those jobs you just never escaped from.
Mm-hmm.
It was like you'd leave the office, but did you really leave the office? Like, I would get insulting texts the minute I would get back to my house, and it was like me and my coworker, because the company is owned by a husband and wife, and we were assisting. She assisted the husband, I assisted the wife, and we would get pulled into these marital battles. And it was like, I was 22 or 23 years old. I was not equipped to handle.
No,
a desk was flipped.
To.
A desk was flipped in an office. It broke in half. Like, it was, like papers were thrown. This place was what you see on, like, I don't even know how, I don't even know if you could write the stuff that happened in this office.
We're spilling secrets in the industry on the show.
I mean, I could go all day with it. I give zero fucks about this place.
Yeah.
Then I escaped.
Yeah. It's so awful, though, to be put. That's where you have to go 5 days a week. And we're not talking like a 9-to-5 job here.
No, no.
These jobs go on all... You're expected to be on call. You're there. Lunches are not
you don't
encouraged.
Have lunch.
Yeah.
You don't get a
so
lunch.
So it's really like your life.
It
like
is.
This is it. So that feeling that you have dread you get on a Sunday night, times that by a little bit more. And that's what it's like to work for some of these companies.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of them. Like, especially in unscripted, I'd say. I think for some reason the unscripted world is a bit more cutthroat because they produce what they produce for cheaper, so they, you know, they're just a little bit more feisty.
Right. Yeah, and a lot of these people come from the field, so they're not used to working with, like, laws and labor
they
like,
still
corporate structure. Like, they literally come off of a set And then they're like, all right, I am successful producing such and such a show. Let's create our own production company.
Exactly.
So they pull the producers that they've worked with for the last, like, 6 years, and then they finance a production company. So there's no, like, suits.
Nope.
You know? And if there are any, because a lot of these production companies are owned by much larger companies, they're just, like, subsidiaries. There's really no presence of a large company.
There's no corporate structure whatsoever. Yeah. And that's where you end up getting abused, because there's nothing to protect you.
Yeah, that was, everyone's had different experiences, but this has been my experience as well as yours.
Yeah.
So this is just where we are coming
from.
Yeah,
we're just, you know? We're not trying to speak for the whole industry as far as this, but
this is our experience. I mean, you know me. I'm going to be as honest as I can be.
I can't help it. But yeah, we're both going to be
So this is just like, it is what it is, and it is what it is. But that's what I mean at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what happened next?
Okay, so I did end up getting into a bigger company, which was exactly what I needed. I was at Shine America, and they were in the process of merging with Endemol. So I actually got there. The merger was announced. I got there, and, like, I want to say 2 weeks after I got there, they cut so many people from the company. Like, it was a mass firing, and I made it because my boss made it. She was, like, high up, very valued. And so we made it past that first cut, and it was just an extremely odd time to join this company. Everyone was miserable because everything was changing. I think they were all very happy when it was just Shine America, but it was really, I'm name dropping. It's fine.
That's fine.
It's whatever. It's, everything's fine now. I mean, I'm not there anymore.
Well, I tried to get many jobs at Shine. I went on a few interviews, but no one did me any favors over there.
It's a good company. It was a great company to work for. I was very happy with it. Like, it was the first time there was an HR department. That was the first company I ever had an HR department, and they were, like, paying me for overtime, and, like, that was
a normal job.
I know, and she wouldn't text me outside of work hours, and I was like, it was shocking. It was, like, it was so nice. It was such a welcoming change. It was still a really tough desk. Tons of emails, tons of calls. Like, I actually had to learn how to use the phone system that made sense. And, you know, I stayed on that desk for maybe, like, 5 or 6 months, and then an unscripted development coordinator role opened up, and then I was like, I want to get in development. And I was lucky enough to, my bosses, because I was working under two British, a man and a woman, and they were just awesome people, and I interviewed with them, and we just clicked, and then they hired me. I left that desk, and then I did unscripted development for, I think, 6 months. So much fun. Really weird. Yeah. Very strange. But
yeah. What happened?
Well, so, like I said, it was a merger, Endemol Shine, and they had several rounds of layoffs, and we were actually, so the development department I worked in was sort of the Shine team, and then there was an Endemol team of development, and basically what ended up happening is there's a lot of redundant positions, so they cut my position, and then I went to New Zealand. I was like, all right, fine, I have no job. Great time to spend thousands on New Zealand.
Oh, wow.
No, I didn't spend thousands, I'm just kidding. I don't have thousands to spend.
See, I do regret not having any international travel.
Yeah.
Because I had transferred, so that I felt like that was my study abroad.
Right.
Because I would stay throughout the summer and sometimes through the winter and take classes, so I would graduate on time. You know, less debt, less time out of work.
Like, great call.
All that. But I definitely regret not being able to travel at all.
It was the best
decision. I still haven't, because once you start working and you have these types of jobs and you get paid so little, you can't be like, oh, I'm going on a 2-week trip. Be, no. All right, well, you won't
you're
be going
fired.
Back.
Yeah. Yeah. You're fired. Good luck with that. Even if they tell you have like 2 weeks paid vacation, you know you don't have two weeks paid vacation. Like, you
at
know.
These companies, at these smaller companies,
No, it's absolutely not true. So now I'm in a small production company, the one that we both...
Yes, backfilled my role over there, which is not an easy company to work for from my own experience. So, what can you say?
I'm going crazy. I honestly don't know what to do anymore. Just this industry is like killing my soul.
Yeah.
It's cutthroat, man. It's just like, I'm from Minnesota where people are friendly all the time. And I went home like a couple weekends ago and the cashier was really nice to me. And I was just like, this is not a concept that I'm used to anymore. In LA, no one is friendly to you unless they want something from you. So you just get conditioned to that. And it's a scary place.
One thing I will say, in the position that you're holding now, outside of that, if someone did a favor for me that I didn't have to figure out, or something was presented to me, it was like, I couldn't wrap my mind around it. It was like I would get emotional about certain things.
Yes.
Because you're just not used to anything coming easy. Let's just say that.
No. Nothing will. And like sometimes when people do something really nice for me, I actually like do get emotional. Also, my eyes will start watering because I'm like, what do I have to do now? Like, this is going to come back to bite me. And it's like, that's just a messed up culture we've created.
So when do you say enough is enough? Like I had to devise a real plan and it took a ton of work, but I was able to move on with my life and things are much better. But it's like, at what point, because I don't work in unscripted currently and I'm fine not doing that.
I don't want to work in unscripted anymore. Honestly, I needed a job. So it was like, I'll take anything I can get. And I've been looking outside and it's just hard. It's just these positions are so sought after. Like I interviewed for some jobs that I was so excited for, like some companies I would have killed to work at. I would have actually not minded working like 60-hour weeks, working weekends, because that was the place I wanted to be and that's the place I wanted to move up. If it was the right company, I would kill myself for it. I would do whatever it takes.
Right.
But I just haven't gotten to that place where I found a place that I know it will, if I put in the work, then it'll be rewarded. So I guess I'm at a point now, I don't even know what I want to do. Like, I think I would rather pursue stand-up on the outside and then bust my ass in an assistant role, because it's just been... my experience just hasn't been good. It's just, people will tell you, like, every time you have this new boss, they'll say, you do right by me, I'll do right by you. And then you do right by them and just watch as the floor falls out from underneath you. And then you're blacklisted on in their mind. So sick of it.
I don't blame you. Let's talk about the stand-up world.
Yeah.
How is that? That's an outlet for you.
It's actually a great outlet. I took a class last February at MI's Westside Comedy Center, and it was amazing. I loved it because I thought going into it, they were sort of going to teach how you tell jokes and things like that. But actually, this class just teaches you how to find your voice. And once you find your voice, the stories will come and you just kind of trial and error, figure out how to do stand-up. And I absolutely love it. I started doing the first show. We did a show at the end of class and it was fine. Like, we had a huge audience because everybody brought their friends. And I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, this is where I want to go. This is what I love to do. Started doing open mics and I've gotten called up a lot. And, you know, like, I will write my material, like, at work. And then I'll just, like, a lot of it is inspired by, like, the dating stuff. And a lot of it is, like, extremely insulting and, like, very, very vulgar, honestly. Like, it's funny to me right now. I feel like I'm a very cleaned up, polished version of myself. But, like, the things I talk about are disgusting.
A real comedian.
Right, yeah. I mean, you kind of have to really... I mean, but the point, I think, with stand-up is that you force people to, like, take a look at themselves and realize. Mm-hmm. It's super relatable stuff. So I like to be able to... I guess that my perspective is strongly, like, a very feminist, like, woman who's just done with everything.
Yeah.
But the world itself is, like, you go to these open mics, and there's probably, of the dozens of people that perform at them, there's probably three or four that are talented or three or four that really know what they're doing. And a lot of people who just go up there and, like, think that they're really funny and start saying offensive things that are not tactful at all. And it's super entertaining either way, but you're sort of like, so this is the comedy scene. Because you hear about LA's comedy scene and you hear how exclusive it is and how hard to make it is. And then you see, like, that these aspiring comedians maybe aren't, like, I would say 85% of the ones that I'm seeing are probably not in the right career path. And I'm just wondering who has told them for so many years that they're funny and that they should keep doing this.
Yeah.
Like, there's people who don't... These are people who don't work. These are people who... They just go to open mics all day, every day. They'll just run around and then they're just hoping somebody sees them. They're hoping to get discovered. And you're like... It's not going to happen. Like, it's just not going to happen. I haven't laughed. And so sometimes I'll just sit there and, I mean, I've been told I'm, like, admittedly, like, very, I'm a tough critic. I'm a bitch about this stuff. And, but there's nights where you sit there and you're like, this is just not funny at all.
Yeah.
And then I've gone to some shows where, like, there's openers, that are kind of beginners, and sometimes they're really good. Sometimes they're terrible. It's just this, it's a hit or miss thing, and you have to, it's just like the entertainment industry though, as far as working in TV, you have to just work the connections and hope for the best. Yeah. But, and you got to get out there, have people videotape you. I only have myself on tape like 3 times because just whether or not like somebody's there with me or whether or not I feel like,
right.
whether or not I feel like I'm going to do a good job. Because sometimes also you'll realize that you go to an open mic and everyone in the audience is also a comedian. Mm-hmm. So you don't actually, so sometimes if you're performing later in the night, there's no one left. And you're doing your set, and there's probably, like, 4 people in there, and they're just the people that are coming after you. So you're just reading your set to silence. And it's extremely, that's probably the hardest thing to do is stand up with no laughter. You just, you don't know if you're doing it right, because you have to read the crowd, and you can't read the crowd if there isn't a crowd.
Right.
So those are the times where I'm like, okay, I'm not going to record myself, because nobody's laughing.
Right. And exactly. You can't test the material that way at all.
You can't. That's the point of an open mic, is to test your material. And if you can't get any feedback, what's the point? Like, I'm not going to laugh at myself, so.
Right. No, who are some comedians that you fashion your sets after? Anyone inspire you?
I
don't.
That's the thing. I like, my stand-up teacher was sort of saying that a lot of times people will watch a lot of comedians and then they'll start telling their jokes like them. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. So I just haven't, I don't really watch or listen to stand-up at all. And I just try to keep my voice authentic, I guess. But that makes me sound so, like, cocky, I guess.
No, but does your style reflect anyone out there? Or are you kind of like a new type of stand-up?
I'm not a new type of stand-up at all. I feel like I'm just, I'm probably in the same vein as, like, Amy Schumer. Mm-hmm. Just those girls that are, like, shameless and kind of a little disgusting.
It's tough to say because you don't want to put yourself in a box.
That's no.
That's like if someone said, like, what type of podcast is this? Like, right. What other show is it like? I'm like, I really don't.
It's original. Just my show.
Yeah, it's original, but, like, you know, it is what it is. And
people have told me on more than one occasion that I remind them of Amy Schumer from Trainwreck, and I'm not sure if that's a compliment or not. I would go with no, but... Whatever, I'll take it, I guess.
Yeah, why not? I mean, she's making a lot of money.
Right, I know. That character was probably, like, not someone that you want to model your life after.
Probably not.
Yeah. Whatever, I'm cleaning up my act. I'm getting there.
Yeah. So, where are some places that you go to see comedy in the city? Where's some good places?
Obviously, like, Laugh Factory.
Yeah,
you're right by it. And then Comedy Store. Comedy Store's great. MI's West Side is... amazing too, like if you want to see some really good comedians just kind of fucking around. Like Neil Brennan does a show every Sunday, and he was like a co-creator on the Chappelle Show, and he's so funny, and like he'll get his friends to come on, and then you're just paying like $5 to go see these amazing comedians. And then I mean Nerd Melt, like the Nerdist, like the Nerd Melt. They have a stand-up show, I think, weekly, that's really good too. And it's in this like tiny little basement room. That's the best thing about LA, is like there's also this open mic in Los Feliz, in this like Asian restaurant up in the top floor, that's just all these, like, I saw Pete Holmes there like years ago, and like some guy who'd been on Community, in this tiny Asian restaurant, and it's just in this little tiny room where and you never expect to see the kind of people you see, but that's LA. Like, that's the beautiful thing about it, is you can go, you'll see celebrities anywhere. And like, especially in the comedy scene, you can see really good people if you're just like keeping an ear out for where they're performing.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know, I can really relate to you on a lot of things, especially like the business and having that being the main focus of why you're here, how you're paying your bills.
Yeah.
But then discovering these other outlets that saved your life. For me, that was AfterBuzz TV, and then it's moved into this. Now I'm in a better place. When I was working like that, I would show up to AfterBuzz complaining, upset, hungry, exhausted, but I knew I had to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you
wanted to. Yeah. It was, for me, it's tough right now because Tuesdays were my day to do open mics, and now I play in a soccer league on every Tuesday, so it's like I gotta find a new mic to go to. But you know, it's another outlet, like the sports are another outlet too, because I just need something that I can go do and like not think about work and just like let out all that aggression and frustration. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. You'll find your way eventually. It's just someone was telling me that like everything has to line up, like the person who's in the next job that you're going to have, they need to get another job, so they leave.
Yeah.
So then you go in there. So it's like literally like so much has to happen mm-hmm. that you can't force the issue on these things.
No, it's just going to have to... I know, and that's sort of the frustration, too, is it's just you can't... You cannot force it, and you cannot make things happen. You just have to sort of be aware.
Right.
Look out for it.
Yeah. Well, where can we find you, and is there anything you want to promote?
I mean, I have a blog, thechipsididn'teat.com, and it's pretty... that's where I'll get a little bit more inappropriate, so...
Okay.
Yeah, www.thechipsididn'teat.com, no apostrophe after the T, or before the T.
Check it out. All right, and you guys can check out Grant's Rants coming to BidChat, BIDCHAT. The app is out now. Feel free to download it. Check it out. I am still waiting on my first air date, but in the meantime, I've been working my tail off getting stuff set. The show is going to be a little remixed, and it's going to be really exciting, so I've been working hard on that. I just moved. I've got my own place, so that's why the show has been a little all over, but like I mentioned in a previous episode, we're going to be having 2 new episodes per week, so make sure you check that out. You can keep up with us on our Facebook page and, of course, always on Twitter. Katrina, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course. We'll have you back again.
Yay.
This has been Grant's Rants. Follow us on Twitter at Grants_Rants. Cover art created by Howie Roné. Voiceover by Sir Richard Wentworth. Original theme music composed by Alexander Arnson.